Hi everyone, this is Tara, and you're tuned in to Tea Time with Tara. That intro part seems so awkward to me. Maybe I'm just overthinking it or overanalyzing myself, but I want to change it up, maybe, but I'm not sure what to do. So if anybody has any ideas, I would love to hear them. Help me out. Anyway, this episode was probably my favorite to record. I have my very longtime friend, Dan Haggerty, on. We met in middle school, I think it was 7th or 8th grade, and we've been friends ever since. So we talk about parenthood primarily, but we also talk about the dynamics of relationships and marriage. And I feel like we talk about some other weird shit too. I enjoyed this so much because it felt so natural, of course, and there were a lot of laughs. So buckle up, because this one is a wild ride. Hi, Dan. Welcome to my show.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Well, I've been better.
Yeah, I hear you. I know we've had some conversation. I was just trying to keep the intro highs. Like, oh, you know, good, okay.
And no. Great.
Right?
We're keeping it real here. We were just like
10 seconds ago, we were like, and we shouldn't hit the kids, but we want it, you know. Yeah, I hear you.
I'm just so excited to do this with you. I have to tell you, just because, I mean, we've known each other since what, like 7th or 8th grade?
Yeah, middle school.
Yeah, and now we're parents.
Yeah, we are parents, and not just a parent of one kid either.
Both of us have two.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And I feel like whether it's two or like fucking six,
mm-hmm.
once you're past one, because I remember like when my son was born, he's like 4 months old now. And when he was born, or right before he was born, I should say, when my wife was pregnant, this time around, our insurance covered nausea medicine. Her first pregnancy was like legitimately hell on earth. She was fucking nauseous all the time. Like pregnant, like some women have great pregnancies and they have a good time. Not my wife. It's the exact opposite.
Me neither.
Yeah, it's fucking. So I'm very sorry that you have to go through that, because I witnessed that shit firsthand and I was like, I cannot believe you love me and the thing inside you that much to be going through this, because it's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And so we were having, you know, for the most part, it was pretty. The second pregnancy was a lot easier because the nausea medicine worked for and whatever. And we, you know, we kind of figured out our daughter. She just turned 4. So she's like, you know, she's going to bed.
Our daughters are the same age.
I know, right? Is yours a little older? Is that what it is? A couple of weeks
older. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It was really close, wasn't it?
Yeah. Because me and Bridget were talking like during our pregnancies. And that's how I started talking to her, because we were both pregnant at the same time and like almost due at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. I do recall that. I recall that now that you mentioned it. Yeah. So. You think you figure everything out with one kid, you know, and then all of a sudden
throw another one in there.
And then all of a sudden it's like everything, all the shit you just did for like 3-4 years with the first, or, you know, in your case, I guess 13 year or no, that would be what, 15. 11, 11, 12.
Oh, yeah. It was 11 years. Yep.
So it's like all that shit goes out the window. It's like everything's new again. And you're like, you know what I mean? Like my daughter goes from sleeping through night. Always, all the time, almost never with a problem. Maybe she wakes up now and then, like, oh, put on a different lullaby or something like that, or whatever, gotta go potty. You know what I mean? But like now it's like we just get Teddy to sleep and we're like tiptoeing around and shit. We're like, let's fucking get to bed before he wakes up. And I was like, bust her fucking door open, and she's like, I want a baba. We're like, it's fucking midnight, go to bed.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, yeah.
So, things have calmed down again recently, luckily. So my wife and I got to a point where we like not made like an exact schedule, but like had days of whose day is it to stay up late if like, you know, one of the kids wakes up or whatever. And that was working pretty good, because at a certain point, like when it's like fucking 2 a.m., the kid starts crying and like, you know, maybe if you just did the last 2 or 3 days and you're just like, can you just fucking do it? And like one of you are half asleep and you don't even remember and you're like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? So try to do that to avoid fighting. And for the most part, we still do. My wife, I've just been doing a shit ton of overtime during the week. So my wife's been doing during the week and I've been doing on the weekends.
On the weekends, yeah.
So it's pretty good.
That's so healthy though, that you guys did that. That's like,
I think so.
That's awesome.
Even to this day, like even dudes that are younger than me that, you know, they may or may not be married yet or whatever the case may be. They're like, well, what are you, you know, you're going to work, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, who gives a shit if I am or am not? Like, she's also working and taking care of an infant while she fucking works. Just because she's home doesn't mean it ain't fucking a pain in the ass. Her job sucks.
Oh my God.
It's fucking insane. Like her job like drives her fucking nuts. So like trying to take care, you know, if he sleeps or if he's chill, like for the most part, he's a pretty good baby, but sometimes he just wants a shit ton of attention because he's an infant. Right.
Right.
And it's like insane. Like, you know, I'm all for like ball busting and joking around and this and that. But some, like, I remember one guy was like, oh, what do you mean? Like, you're out here working. I'm like, yeah, my wife's at home working, motherfucker. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Like, you know, why? Like he was making it seem like my wife should just do all of it.
Oh yeah. Well, I feel like that's a pretty common mentality. That's like super old fashioned, but it's really because people are used to, you know, the idea of the man goes to work, the woman stays home with the kids. And so now that women have entered the workforce and are also having children, there's like this disruption of that. And a lot of people just don't understand it or know how to like feel about it.
Or I would say even some are just fucking selfish and refuse to realize that, you know what I mean?
I mean it's that toxic masculinity stuff.
That's how we are, I guess. You know, like there's still a part of me that's like somewhat old-fashioned. Like I said, like if I'm on the job, you know, we'll be ball busting, making fun of each other, ripping each other apart. But at the same time, like there's an understanding that like we want to do that and makes the day go and we're enjoying each other. We're not actually insulting each other. We're just joking around, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there's a part of me that's like, well, I kind of want to have my marriage for the rest of my life and like have my children not grow up with like ignorant, shitty mindsets of like a couple of decades ago. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's a hard line to teeter totter, you know.
It is totally. I get that.
But you know, and go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just gonna say, like, even for me, that I'm pretty. I feel like everybody knows that I'm pretty liberal about, like, socially. I would say very liberal. But there are still, even for me, as somebody who is a woman who wants to do everything, there are still certain ideas that I have about what kind of a partner I want to be, or, you know, what kind of a wife I would want to be. And they can be a little old fashioned sometimes. And so I think that it's a matter of just people accepting what feels good to them rather than trying to conform to what they're socialized to.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. And you guys are doing that.
Yeah, I mean, there's, it's weird because I feel like marriage is this thing that you need to be yourself, right? You need to be who you are, otherwise that shit is never going to work. And at the same time, you need to progress and mature mentally. Like, you need to be able to be like, well, I just always did that, and that's not really, like, necessarily a part of who I am. That's just some dumb shit I've always done.
Right.
That I should probably stop doing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, kind of like that. So like there is a difference with that too, you know, because, you know, I fell for my wife like so fast. And I think that reason was because there was no difference between how I was with her and without her around other people. You know, I'm the same like obnoxious fucking dude, exactly the same. Like, it's not like tiptoe around like, hey guys, You Pritchard are here, Bubba. You know what I mean? Like, I've had relationships like that before, and that shit just, it doesn't work. It's not okay. No. You're unhappy the entire fucking time, you know?
Yeah.
And she loves me for that. That's who she fell in love with. She didn't, you know, of course you had that little, like, couple month period, the honeymoon phase, like, everything's fucking, you know, you're going out to eat and having sex, like, fucking 8 days a week, you know, everything's domestic, right? You know, but then, you know, things start getting a little real and, you know, some people are like, ugh, but we were the exact opposite. It just brought us closer together when we were starting to get to that point.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it's nice. It's lucky is what it is. You know, when you,
I don't think that it's just lucky though. I feel like I do.
There's 8 billion fucking people, Tara.
Okay. There's so that part, I guess, is lucky.
It's, you know, like, like, to say that I actually, because I'm even the type of person that believes that I don't know if there's necessarily one single, like, that old school romantic, only one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a good chance, like, maybe out of 8 billion people, maybe there's, like, 7 or 8 that if you were to happen to come across, and, because it's not just how you guys interact, it's how life works for you, too.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But, like, at the same time, it's still, you know, whether, you know, if you find it, and it doesn't even matter what your stance is with, like, there's only one person for me on the earth, and if I never find her, that, or whatever, it's like, when you're in it, you just know you're there, and you're like, all right, I don't give a shit what I think about it anymore. I'm here.
Right.
I don't have to think about it anymore, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was trying to find my words for that. I was like, what the fuck do I want to say? I know what I'm thinking. So.
Well, your wife is, I love her, and I haven't even met her. We've only ever just chatted with each other, like, either through Snapchat or Facebook Messenger. I think we might have texted each other, like, but what a gem.
Thank you very much. She's very awesome. I think I remember she mentioned she was, like, talking to you when you guys were pregnant, like you mentioned before, when, you know, she was pregnant with my first, and I was like, oh yeah, no, Tara's awesome, we've been friends since, like, fucking middle school, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, no, you know, we're talking about this and that. And, you know, she gets sick too. I can't believe it. And I'm like, yeah, babe, it's not just you.
I was sick my whole pregnancy.
It's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
It's so brutal. Like,
yeah,
we were coming home from dinner one day. We were living in Vernon together when we found out she was pregnant. You know, she moved in with me. But I think we both came from our jobs and met, I think it was like Outback or something on 23, something that was like 30, 40 minutes away. And we were done eating, we were going home, and she calls me, like, when she's almost home, and she's like, babe, I really need your help. And I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, I got sick and just threw up all over myself and the car. And I'm like, oh. Like, I opened the door, and, like, you know, I had to wait a couple of minutes for her to get home. She was a little bit behind me, and, like, she just looked, like, so, like, not okay. And I was just like, oh, I'm like, babe, like, but there's also, like, a little part of me that's like the angry cleaner, you know, not angry at her. Like, obviously there's no, you know what I mean? But, like, and she's like, babe, I'm sorry. I'm like, don't fucking apologize. I am not mad at you. Like, I'm mad at this vomit on this fucking car mat right now. And I'm going to make, you know, I'm going to be mad at that shit. But I need you to know, like, even though you ended up doing this, you know, completely, you know what I mean?
You.
Like,
yeah,
I promise you that. Yeah, that's, you know, that's something. It's because I do get, like, that crusty dude sometimes, you know, that crusty old guy when I'm cleaner, like, fucking.
And you're, like, cursing under your breath.
Yeah. Like, or not even under it, just completely fucking above it. Like, you know. My daughter walks by, shit. I'm like, fuck.
Oh,
I'm
like, that's not. Robbie just did that the other day.
Did she?
Yeah.
She popped the S-bomb?
Yeah. Well, she called Ethan a fuckerhead a couple of months ago.
So let me guess. Did you, like, crack up beyond belief? And then you had to, like, calm yourself and be like, Robin, it's not okay to say fuckerhead?
Yeah, me and Ethan made, like, I tried really hard to not look, and then I looked over at Ethan, and he looked at me, and we both just burst out just laughing. Lost it. And then the other day, she said, what was she saying? She was talking about the dog being too rough, and she said something, and I was just like, what did you just say? And she goes, and looks up at me like...
just looks and laughs like, it's our little secret. My wife, like, there's my wife laughing a little bit, and then there's my wife when she loses it. She just laughs for like fucking 5 minutes. Like she, you know what I mean? There's like a yeah. part of when she gets into a certain amount of laughter, and she gets to that point when my daughter curses. I mean, she's, I think it's only been shit like a handful of times maybe, which is yeah. crazy because I literally have the mouth of like a horrible fucking person. I curse like a motherfucker and I try my best to calm it down and not do it around the kids. It just doesn't happen. You know, I mean, you know, it's definitely better than it used to be, obviously. But so like she'll say shit and my wife like uncontrolled, like hunched over on the couch, like tears, just laughing her ass. And I'm like, if you laugh, she's laughing now and she thinks it's hilarious. And my daughter definitely realizes that, like, if we're laughing at it, she thinks that's awesome and wants to keep doing
it. Do
so
it
she
again.
Goes up yeah. to my wife and she'll be like, shit, like she'll say it again, and then my wife starts fucking then my wife like can't breathe laughing, and I'm, you know, so once she calms down, you know, we have to, you know, my wife's like wiping tears away from her eyes, like, all right, you can't say that, it's a bad word, you know what I mean?
But, yeah, I mean, there I try to find the balance of like, you shouldn't say that, it's not a nice thing to say, like mm-hmm. grown-ups say it, but it's really not nice, as opposed to like, I mean, some people be like, don't you ever say that. And it's like, no, you can't do that. You're going to scare your fucking kid.
You can almost never do that because you're going to, one, like you said, either scare the kid, or what's even worse is, two, you're just going to drive them to do it to like 200%.
Yeah, in secret, though.
And that's even fucking yeah. worse. Like,
yep, exactly.
Like, my parents were always pretty chill. And like, you know, once I was like 8, 9, 10, whatever, and like maybe accidentally, would you get off my desk, you little fucker? It's always in the way. Like, you know, if you get caught cursing or something, right? My dad's like, listen, he's like, there's times and a place, excuse me, to use these words. Can't use them at school. Don't use them in yeah. front of your fucking mother, right? Like he'd probably say, like, don't use them in front of your fucking mother. Right? He's like, you know, you sit there and, you know, you say with your friends and whatever, but you got to know there's a time and a place. I feel like that was one thing my parents were like real on the ball with raising us yeah. was that they treated us like adults when we were younger, in a certain sense, that instead of just saying no because I said so, they actually explained what was wrong and why it was right. wrong. And like, listen, you could probably go and do it without us around and fuck up again if you want, but there's going to be consequences. And at a certain point, it's right. going to be really, really bad, you know? And I, you know, and I just remember it like it worked, you know, I always like, I never did drugs in high school. And like, yeah, I always had like, I always had this thing in my head that I was like, oh, no fucking, you know, I don't want to end up like that. It was actually almost like a judgmental thing. So that's kind of shitty because you don't want to get too far into that. But at the same time, mm-hmm. I feel like that little bit of judgmental side kind of saved me because I definitely have an addictive personality. I definitely mm-hmm. still love drinking. I smoke, but I always smoke like at night just to, mm-hmm. right before I go to bed because it just makes me pass out. And
yeah.
sometimes I wake up at like 4 a.m. for work. But not really anything else. And not that I've ever really been to anything else either, but that about me has definitely changed. You know what I mean? That like yeah. that little bit of judgmental, like I used to judge my buddies and our group of friends in high school who smoked weed. I'd be like, what are you doing, dude? It's dumb. It's fucking, it's drugs, dude. You know what I mean? Like whatever yeah. dumb shit I was saying, but are you going to hop down on the desk or not? Can you see him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come here. Oh, don't run away. I'm trying to fucking.
All black cat. Oh, little baby.
This dude's like 16 years old.
Stop.
Yeah. And he.
He's so little.
I don't think he's ever going to die. I think he's just going to live until he's like fucking 40. Just every time I come downstairs to do laundry and he's hanging in the basement, he's going to be like, meow. That's what he does. You'll hear it at some point throughout this podcast. He's going to be like, meow.
Well, do you remember? Meow. Did you come? You used to come to the parties at my house in Warwick, right?
I don't know if I've ever been to your home in Warwick. Well, a while back
when I would have bonfires, it was like, it had to be like 12 or so years ago.
I remember like, when Aerie would have parties sometimes and you would be there.
Okay.
I do remember yeah, that. So, I don't remember ever coming over in Warwick though, but you had bonfire parties in Warwick, I gather. Or maybe yes. I just got so drunk that I literally drank the memory away. There could be a possibility of that as well.
That is possible. Yeah. I don't remember everyone that was there. Yeah. But anyway, the point is that my landlord, my apartment was like connected by a hallway mm-hmm. to her house. But she was really cool. She didn't care that I was throwing parties. She actually loved that I was throwing parties because she had this big property and nobody to take advantage of it. Anyway, she had a cat and it was so old. He was like 21 and he was a black cat.
That's like 120 in human years. That's like, like you need to go, dude. No, look at the light and walk towards it.
Yeah. Everybody, I remember like, Lou and the other Dan being in my kitchen and like petting him, and they called him Steve, but that wasn't his name. Yeah.
Just one of those things where people just make their own name for the pet.
Yeah, like I remember telling people when he finally died, I was like, guys, Steve died, and everyone was like, no.
No, not Steve. And your landlord's like, that's not the cat's name.
I told her. Yeah, she thought it was funny.
Like, thanks for caring, though. That's, you know.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, my wife's cat just passed away, actually, like, a couple months ago. Her cat was pretty old, too. She didn't remember. I think it was, like, around the same age as my cat. Okay. But it was something. It was. I think it might have been, like, a stroke or just something super quick. Because she came down, like, to do laundry, and her cat, like, seemed fine. I mean, definitely old and, like, heading towards the light for sure. She's been like that for a bit, but like she's still been like she was still eating, going to the bathroom, like normal things. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, you don't seem sick, you don't seem like, you know, otherwise, you know, I'd take her to the vet and be like, all right, what's going on? But and then like I just came downstairs to feed the cats, and she was just like kind of laying on the ground. I was like, this might be it. And I touched her a little bit. I kind of moved her. But like when I went to move her, she just kind of did this like her whole body just slid with my movement, aka like she was just, you know,
stiff.
Yeah, yeah. But she wasn't like gone yet. It was almost.
Oh, okay.
It's so weird how that happens. Like I called my wife down. My wife was like talking to her for a few minutes. It wasn't even 5 minutes, and that was that. Aww. You know what I mean? So it's like it's kind of like you could tell like her cat like kind of held out almost to like say bye to her. It's, you know.
Oh, I'm gonna cry. And it's that's so sad.
Yeah, but
I'm not ready for that.
You got a lot of pets, don't you? Don't you have like
I have a fucking zoo. I'm crazy. So
two kids isn't enough. Add like fucking 10 animals to it, right?
I love chaos. So I had a bearded dragon. My bearded dragon did just pass away like a couple months ago, but
that's a reptile, right? That's like a big lizard or something, right?
It's her body was like a little bit bigger than my palm. But I have tiny palms, so I guess she was bigger.
Okay.
But not by much. Anyway, she was like 12.
Oh wow!
And
is that long for like domesticated reptiles? I'm not like familiar.
Yeah, I mean, from what I found online, the minimum like on the low end of their average lifespan was 8 years old. So okay. So yeah, she did good.
She did all right.
But yeah, I got my dog last year. So she's one. She just turned one on the 15th of January.
Okay.
And I have two older cats. They are 8 and 9. The 8-year-old cat was a rescue that like I was just trying to find homes for these stray kittens. And he had like a little wonky eye.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was taking him, and so I had him like locked in my bathroom because I didn't know if he was sick, like you just never know. Had a cat, so I was like, I gotta take him to the vet. I'm just gonna keep him. And so that's how I wound up with him, and now he's like in love with Leia, my female cat. And I actually say, like, if she ever dies, he's gonna die from a broken heart.
Really? Like,
oh, it's crazy. He just loves her so much. And she's like, leave me the fuck alone.
I was about to ask, what's she like? She's probably like, bitch, this is my house. It's always been. And your ass is invading on my territory. So you need to get the fuck. He's like, but I love you by the moon and the stars.
Me. Yeah.
And all the kitty chow.
But then she'll like. She'll like slap him around a little bit, and then she'll snuggle with him later. So like, they're
yeah, I got you.
They're like an old married couple now. Yeah. But then I rescued another cat. Like, I was fostering him because he was on the street in Montclair. I guess I shouldn't say where I live. He was
it's
the
just
street.
A town. You know, and you're not like it's you're like, oh, 123 Smith Road, right across from the 7-Eleven.
And I just felt so sorry for him because he was sick. He had an upper respiratory infection and he was a little and all by himself. Mm-hmm. And so I took him in, I raised money to get him to the vet. The upper respiratory infection is a chronic upper respiratory infection. So it's never going to go away.
Wow.
Basically, he's just going to keep getting sick and nobody wants him. So now I'm stuck with him too.
So that's three cats.
Mm-hmm.
God damn.
Cats rule everything around me.
Dude, cats are rough, man. My wife's cat, like when she shit, it was a vile smell. Like some... I swear to God, like, I don't know what was inside her, but like, I'm not like
death.
Yeah, it was, I'm not like the biggest animal guy. Like, I'm not like, if I see an animal like on the side of the road, like I'm going to stop and see what's up. And, you know, if I know if there's a vet nearby, you know, like, it's not like I would just leave a helpless animal somewhere, but I'm also not the guy that's like, let's bring them all in. You know what I mean?
Like me.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? Because it's a lot. Like, you're trying to be a decent parent, you know, you're like, mm-hmm. I'm working on not saying fuck 300 times around you in an hour, kid.
Exactly.
Let alone taking care of animals and shit, you know? but no, yeah. So, you know, like I didn't even like shed a tear when my wife's cat passed. Of course she did. Of course she was super sad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I mean, I've had Tyrone since I was like 20. I've had him for fucking ever. And I don't know. Maybe I will.
That's
maybe
Tyrone.
I won't. Yeah.
Oh
the
my God.
The same exact cat. Since I was 12.
Oh my God.
I know. He won't. He's just. And he's so like lively and shit. Like.
Yeah, he just hopped up there. Holy shit. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember the days of Uvu?
I do. Yeah. Every now and then, those pictures on Facebook with like me, you, and Pat like talking on Uvu or whatever, my cat would just like sneak in there and be like, what's up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Those pop up on Facebook every now and then. Fucking Uvu.
Oh, we all used to Uvu together.
We did. Ricky was big in Uvuing, right? We hung out at Pat's apartment like a lot, right? We would always Uvu and shit because we had like nothing else to do besides do that and drink.
Yep, and I would drink with you guys while I was home with Ethan.
Yeah, via the Uvu.
Via Uvu.
The Uvu. What a dumb name! It was always something. What wasn't there something before or after Uvu as well? Like, because Zoom's here now, Zoom will probably just be
Skype?
It, and then maybe it was Skype. Maybe I am thinking of Skype.
I don't know.
I think you're right. I think I would think because, you know, throughout like different relationships and like my mid, you know, or basically I should just say my 20s because now I think of what are they, 36 now. So I think I might have been like 29 or 30 when I started dating Bridget. So basically my 20s, there was always some fucking chat app I needed to have, or you know, or like some video thing if we couldn't hang out and I had to hop on that fucking video thing, and I'm like, all right, babe, well, you know, it's been like an hour, you know, I got some friends hanging out in my living room. What, do you still want a video chat with me? And I'm like, well, maybe if I didn't have fucking company over and I told you know what I mean. So there was always, that's just me complaining about exes. That's tacky.
Okay,
so I won't do that.
Well, you know, it's fine because we should actually talk about that in the context, in the broader context of like what's healthy, because that shit's not. It's not healthy to like try and keep your partner all to yourself and like not let them do their own thing and have to like be present when they're hanging out with their friends and whatever. Like, you guys need to have separate fucking lives.
Yeah.
That's okay. You need to be able to be a person outside of being a spouse, a parent, whatever. So,
yeah,
it's okay to complain about that toxic shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you want to talk about toxic. There's just, I mean, I could write a fucking novel on that relationship about, it was just so weird. Cause like, you don't have the maturity yet to realize that this isn't just going to work. You think you're doing the right thing, trying to be like, all right, well, let's try to solve this problem. And the next week we'll work on that problem. And you realize is that none of these things are really problems. You guys just don't fucking love each other. And you're just brutally destroying each other's lives. Like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's an incompatibility thing. But yeah, you're absolutely right. When you're in your 20s, you're not mature enough to understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. And sometimes there's things that just are and aren't meant to be too. Like some things that like I'll say and do, my wife will like laugh her ass off or like it'll make her smile and she likes it. And I'll be like, wow, this is crazy. Cause every single one of my exes hated when I did this. And she'd be like, really? It's so funny. Blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So like, it just goes to show you, like sometimes you're just not, you know, cause the, you know, like you fucking, I've heard that throughout every fucking relationship. Like, why do you do that? I just wanted to be like, well, why are you acting like a fucking cunt? You know, I mean, I'm just being me. I don't know what your fucking problem is, but you definitely don't want to say that because that is no good for nobody. So that would just stay in my head. But, every now and then, like I probably like two or three times in my life have dropped the, why are you acting like a, and it's just literally the same fucking thing to that. It does not matter. And I'm like, fuck, man, I did this fucking 3 years ago, too. Not learning my fucking lesson. And it completely takes everything they're doing, they may have been doing wrong or whatever. And who knows, right? And it just brings it all onto me. And I'm like, oh no, what did I fucking do? I'm such an idiot. Yeah. It never, never, name calling never works for anything, anyways. I mean,
no, it doesn't.
It's, I think, the most important thing that I've learned with being married and being in an actual successful relationship is that if you can't communicate well, you're like literally fucking doomed. You are doomed to have a shit marriage and a shit life, and you're going, and it's gonna be fucking terrible. Like, and I feel like my wife and I try to establish that like super early in our relationship, just like being honest and telling each other things like right away and just being like, listen, if this bothers you, whatever, and not freaking the fuck out about it necessarily, or just being like, hey, let's, you know, you could just let me know the shit bothers you, then I'll be like, oh, okay, all right, that makes sense. I'll not fucking do that. I don't have to do that, or, you know,
I'm like, I'll work on that, or, you know, whatever it is, because obviously you have to genuinely mean it and actually work on it, but like, it's that easy, and I don't think that people realize that.
They don't. A lot of people just do the, well, he should just know, or she should just know, or why the fuck do they do that? It's like, dude, what are you talking to me for? Go talk to your fucking wife. You know what I mean? Like, like 10 years ago, I never would have been like that. I probably would have been just like that guy. Like, she's acting like a fucking bitch. You don't know what the problem is. But like now I'm like, I like hear somebody talk about something. I'm like, yeah, but why didn't you just tell her you didn't like that? And you'd be like, oh, no. But you know, that like fucking, that guy, like, I'm the guy. I'm fucking right. You know? You know, so. And I.
That, or just like, I don't want to talk about my feelings.
Yeah,
or,
there's definitely, you know, that whatever. Too. I mean.
Yeah.
My wife, the plan was for my wife to be on, but long story short, babysitters just don't exist for us, so that's that story. But I mean, she could have she could have sat here and told you that in the beginning of our relationship I was definitely not the greatest at opening up at all. I would just, you know, I would just like, I've just always been very used to just holding things in and then just letting them explode 6 months down the road when I'm like fucking hammered one day. And I'm just like, well, you always fucking do that. You know, she's like, why did you fucking tell me that 6 months ago, you asshole? You know?
Yeah.
So, and I've definitely, I think I've definitely come way past that now, obviously, but yeah, man, communication.
Well, I know that, again, to talk about like the social, how we're socialized. Men, boys are socialized to be strong and to not be emotional, and women are emotional and blah, blah, blah. And so there is that whole, it's like foreign for a lot of men, especially our age, I think, to be vulnerable and to open up. And like, it takes a lot of work and trust, doing that kind of work at the beginning and figuring out if you can build trust together and be honest and open with each other is like the best possible thing that you can do from day one. It doesn't matter how early on it is in your relationship, or,
you know, it's a weird thing, but when things are going well, you find yourself thinking like, oh, I want to do the right thing, or I should probably tell her this. This is how I feel. You know, I don't want to get in this awkward conversation right now because I got to fucking wake up for work in 25 minutes. But you know what I mean? Like, there's always that chip. But like, sometimes you're like, this is important to do. You know what I mean? Because like you said, like men are like kind of conditioned sometimes to just be like, you know, like, oh, like fucking just deal with it, bro. What do you, you know, what's your problem, man? You know, like, and it's like, oh, well, fuck that shit. Just because, you know. Just because you're the woman and I'm the man, I'm not allowed to fucking say how I feel or act like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's, I always found it to be a strange thing. I mean, that's, I guess that was earlier on in life too. So people like mature and grow up, whatever. So I guess you can't hold them accountable for that if that's how they were acting when they were younger, I guess necessarily. But I mean, let's say if I was single, you know, and I was talking to somebody or like, or whatever the case may be, like this time, like, so if I go to a bar with a friend and like, you know, I'm joking around or I'm saying something, or I'm be like, oh, well, you know, and I'm showing some emotion or about something, or I'm showing my reaction about how I feel. And if it might be me like complaining about her, and some girl's like, dude, fucking man up, blah, blah, blah. Right. And it's like, all right, if you're joking, I'll, you know, we can laugh about it. Right. But at the same time, it's like, well, is that, if that's really how you feel, you know, like whoever fucking dates you is going to have a terrible fucking time. You know, like that's, you're just going to, and then one day you're going to fucking be a bitch to that dude when he's not fucking communicating with you at all. And you're like, you fucking never tell me about it. Well, it's like, bitch, that's how you acted, you know? And that isn't just women. I, you know, I don't want to single out women in any way, shape, or form, obviously.
Well, no, that's just in the context of, like, you.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that how you react to things early on really does build that trust. And you know, somebody has a bad day, you have a fucking bad day. Like, if somebody's a dick to you and they're having a bad day and they say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm having a bad day.
Okay, it can literally be that simple instead of wondering if you did something wrong. Right. Like sometimes I'll do that. Sometimes I'll just, luckily work's been really solid for me lately. I've been in like the same job, working with the same foreman who's really cool. And even though I've been working a lot, all the overtime I got, it's like pretty easy peasy. It's like a nice, clean, easy going job. You know, we're going home every night and stuff. And that routine like matters to me a lot, like knowing how my day is going to go and how things are going to go. So lately I've been pretty happy overall in general, even though my house is like literally fucking a tornado. Like it's in fucking insanity. I come home and of course I don't expect anything, you know what I mean? Like if I get home like 10 minutes off, my wife gets off work, you know, and I'm just like, okay, well, you were working and, you know, for whatever reason the daycare closed because it was fucking green leaf on a tree day or whatever fucking holiday they decide to close. Like, don't get me wrong, like I know, like all right, Martin Luther King Day, fine, all right, fucking, you know, I'm trying to think of one. I mean, Labor Day, I'm off Labor Day, so I can't use that example. But there's some, when they say they're off, I'm like, I didn't even know this. Fuck, what holiday is this? You know, like, I'm like, fuck, like, we're paying you a lot of money, motherfucker. Take this kid. My wife is suffering, you know? But, oh, fuck, I forgot the point I was trying to make.
The house being messy.
Yeah, the house being, like, I think point blank of what I was trying to say was maybe that, like, I'm going to come, what am I going to do? Come home and get mad about it? I mean, first off, there's no way she could have done anything yet. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
because she was also working.
Yeah. And that, you know, it's rough too, because it's like, she's on the side of, okay, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to bring out a daycare, I'm going to come home, I'm going to take care of Teddy while I'm working. Right. And now you're not coming home at all because you're going from one job to another. You won't be home till close to midnight. Right. So it's like, and she's just no break for her. Then she goes and picks up Isla. Now it's just her and both kids all day. And when she's trying to get something done, and Isla's like, hey, look at these markers I found. Look at this wall that you guys just painted.
Yeah.
You know?
That is the most relatable fucking thing.
And you're just like, you're like, I want to be a good parent. I don't want to hit you. I don't want to be a piece of shit. You know, like, and I say that in a very joking manner. My wife and I have already decided we won't use any type of physical discipline with our children at all. And to be honest with you, it might sound kind of contradicting, but I don't really necessarily judge people if they decide they want to. And I'm not talking like beating the shit out of your kid or fucking slugging your kid. I'm talking like, you're like doing little smacks or whatever. Like, I don't know, because I personally I don't want to do that. I just don't feel that
and
it's right.
And I think that it's a personal choice. Like, I'm with you on that totally. I agree, like, with the not beating your children, because that's never okay. But each person, you know, if
people say the spanking thing works, or whatever, right? Yeah. Which, you know, again, if you're not angry, and that's the thing too, because like, I've definitely developed an anger issue later on in my adult life, and that's something that I'm always working on to not have it show up in front of my kids. Or not, God forbid, use it on my children. You know what I mean? So, like, if we just have a rule set in place, hey, no physical discipline. We're not going to do that. We're not going to be those types of parents. Then there's no possible way for me to accidentally lose my shit and cross a line. you know, and I'm okay with admitting that I think I'm a good person. I would never want to fucking hit my kid, but what if I accidentally fucking do it? What if I just get so fucking mad and do it? And then and then right after I do it, I'm going to be, oh my God, I can't believe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why not? And I just always just thought it was, and well, you know, my wife agreed right away. She, you know, she's not like that at all. But that's like our joke. That's always a joke. Like I'll always joke around. Like if Isla's driving her fucking nuts and I hear her like really start, cause my wife, good cop, bad cop, I'm the bad cop. I have no problem picking Isla up and walking right into her room and placing her in her bed and being like, time out. And she's like, what? And I'm just like, and I close the door gently because I don't want to slam it. Cause then she'll start fucking slamming it. And I'm going to be like, I want to change this no hitting rule. But like that'll always be the joke with my wife. Like if like, you know, our daughter's fucking driving her crazy or something, I'll be like, babe, let's just start hitting him. Like that's like the joke I say, just to, because I have to make everything comedic. Otherwise, I feel like just life is just fucking too fucking much. Everything has to be a joke.
Yeah, you know? If you can't laugh at it, then what's the point?
Yeah.
Ugh, yeah, those tantrums, man.
They're real.
It's yeah. Robin just started with them, like, I guess probably within the last year, but they have become increasingly more violent and like the kicking, screaming at the top of her lungs. It's not just crying. It's like, I mean, the other day she came in and went to smack me in the face because she was mad about something. And I was like, girl.
Yeah.
No, you can be mad. We have talked about this. Mm-hmm. You want to go hit things? Go hit your pillow.
Yeah.
Go hit, you know, there are pillows all over the house.
Yeah, plenty of pillows with no feelings. You're fine.
but like, she's still just...
They don't know. They're figuring it out. No. They don't have any idea. Yeah. They're realizing that there's a different emotion other than like wanting to eat and laughing at everything. You know what I mean? Like they're just figuring shit out. So they're like, you know, like they'll fucking be playing with something. They drop it on the floor. They're like, oh my God. You know, and they freak out about something that you're like, you would think to yourself for a hot second, like, what the fuck you get? And you're like, oh, they're a kid. They don't fucking know anything. They're getting mad.
Yeah.
They let go of their balloon and flow away and they start fucking, oh, freaking out, crying, well,
because
you know?
They don't understand that that feeling is not forever.
Yeah.
They haven't had enough of the lived experience to understand that they're not going to feel like that forever. And so they are so in that, like, upset in that moment. There's no forward thinking at all. Like
it's basically always like
emotional control.
Yeah, it's always the end of life, right? It's always like the worst possible thing it can be. So I mean, again though, that's, you know, and my wife is really good with that. She's always like, Isla, you know it's okay to be angry, right? You know it's okay, blah blah blah, etc. You know, like she's always been really good with that. And I
love that.
I will do my best to be firm when I speak if I'm trying to discipline her so she knows that I'm being serious and that, not that I'm angry, obviously, I don't want that, but like to know that it's not happy, fun times right now. Like you did something wrong. This isn't the first time you've done it. We've spoken to you multiple times. You need to know that this is not okay type tone in my voice, you know, but not being like, God, you're fucking rubby little bitch. You know what I mean? I obviously never want to fucking talk to my daughter like that because then she might think, whatever significant other she'll have later in her life, it's okay for them to talk to her like that. And I'll be like, well, I'm going to fucking hit this person with a bat. They walk in my home and talk to you like that. And they're going to be like, well, daddy, you talk to me like that my entire life. I'd be like, fuck, it is my fault. Shit. Mm-hmm. So that's how you have to think of everything. Everything you do, you teach, you say, your physical fucking actions, your mannerisms, everything. Like it's, you have to realize that your children are going to fucking do those things, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a brutal thought.
it really is, but I mean, I think that is what really pushed me having a daughter. I talked about this, I think, in one of my last episodes. Having a daughter pushed me to realize, like, you know, there's a difference between having a son and a daughter, how they're socialized and. But I realized I was not setting a good example for my son either in my marriage. And that was actually a big reason why we ultimately decided to end it, because it got to a point where I was like, I don't want my kids to see their parents like this.
Yeah.
And with Robin, just kind of realizing that she's going to see me with whoever, and that's going to be what she thinks is supposed to be how she's loved.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine letting her see somebody do certain things and then growing up and letting somebody do those things to her, because I would fucking kill somebody.
Yeah.
Like, and so I keep that in the back of my mind as I am going through this single motherhood dating thing again. And
I would have to assume it's really fucking difficult. You know, because you like things might be going well for like weeks, right? You might hang out, you might go on dates, whatever. You're getting the babysitter, everything's going fucking great. And then when things start to take a little turn, when you were in your 20s, you know, before you had kids or, you know, whatever, whoever's listening, whatever age they are, whatever it is, you didn't have any kids around to get in the middle of when you're trying to have an argument or a discussion with somebody you're dating. You didn't have the kids there to be like, that sweet, sweet time when you're in the middle of a fight and you don't really have any type of resolution and things calm down. And you're like, are you hungry? Let's go out to eat. And then you go and you might have a great dinner and then calm down. And at the end of the night, you're like, you know, that was a dickhead. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, me too. You know what I mean? Maybe that situation can't happen anymore because now you like, no, I have to stay home and watch my kids. And then it leaves on a bad note. And you're like, fuck you. And then you don't get that. You know what I mean? There's like so many things that are different. And it's like,
it is. You know, yeah.
I would have to imagine that it's going to fucking just like just almost be perfect all the fucking time, which is literally impossible, right? So you're it's just gonna, I would imagine it's gonna be fucking wild.
We could only do that, I lost my train of thought for a second. We could only do that if I wasn't with the kids. And so if something happened and then it was like a Sunday night, it was like a Sunday night, I get the kids back from their dad, and well, the next time I can talk about this is Tuesday when they're with their dad for a couple of hours. Otherwise it's maybe Friday, or you know, so
scheduling arguments. I mean, what the fuck does that even mean, right?
Yeah
I mean,
like, if you want to talk about this face to face, this is my availability.
Yeah, right? Like, if you pull up my iCalendar, I will go through all the available dates and times that I have. No, I mean, listen, if things are working out the right way, if things are going well, you know, that person is going to want to be like, I really like this girl. I'm going to, this is fucking insane. Right? What if that person doesn't have kids, right? You know, this is crazy, but you know what? I really like her. Things are going well. And people are going to argue all the time. Doesn't matter how great things are going. You know, if they want to take that time to do that, you know, if they're just like, oh, fuck this, we never get to fucking, well, guess what, dude? You're not dating me then. You know, like, what do you like? It's not going to fucking happen. Yeah. Like, this is my life. This is who I am. Yeah. So as long as you like keep remembering that and reinforcing that, you know, cause I,
oh yeah.
You I know, mean, not to say that you're not, that I don't, you know, right, I obviously front. Have no idea, yeah. But like,
yeah, yeah, no, I do. So specifically, I mean that for in a way reason. Of
like not letting yourself get down about it. Cause I'm sure it's probably easy to do that too. Like, I'm never going to fucking find him. You know what I mean? Like, but it's like, listen, people fucking fall in love when they're like 60 and shit. And all of a sudden, it's like this whole new world for him. Like my the one foreman I was just working with for the past couple of months, he told me a story about how his father passed away. And then, like, maybe like a year or two later, it like wasn't super early, but it wasn't too much later either. She started dating somebody else, and eventually they got married and all that stuff. And he was, like, talking about his feelings about it and stuff. And, I mean, just long story short, what I'm trying to say is that people, you know, new things can happen. New good things can happen, you know? And some, you know, sometimes when you're, what are we, mid-30s now? Like, we're the same age, right? Yeah, I'm about to be 36 in March.
I'm 35 still. I just turned 35 in September.
Okay, yeah, so you got a little bit more time before you're like, oh, wow, I'm now closer to 40 than 30. The 20s are long gone, you know? All that fun's gone. Yeah, but I think it's, you know, it might be easy to put pressure on yourself because of an age you may be like my wife and
I'm not
we always worry. Like, my wife was always like, we should, you know, if this is how many kids we're gonna have, we should have them and blah blah, blah and this and that, and I'm I'm thinking to a point now where I'm like, and I think we've already like discussed and whatever that we don't want to have any more children. or her get pregnant, I should say, because there's always there's a possibility that we may want to adopt. That's an idea. But for that to happen, life would have to work out a certain way. So, my point being, I'm like, babe, you know, my side of it, when we were talking, I was like, I'm about to be 36, like stayed up in the middle of the night. Like that's rough. It starts to really get difficult. And like, I could still do it and I could still sit there and my son's like laughing and giggling. I'm like, all right, kid, I guess I fucking love you. I guess I'll stay up for a couple hours. But that routine thing, that me knowing when I'm going to bed, knowing when I'm waking up, knowing where I'm working, knowing, you know, all that stuff, which sometimes might be a lot to ask for certain people, certain things in my career, whatever the case may be, that's important to me. So, you know, that's almost a reason, one of the main reasons why we did that schedule with Teddy, with like, you get these days, I get, because if I'm thinking about, oh, it's my night, okay, you know, expect to be up. Fucking catch up on some anime, dude. You'll be fine. Like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, instead of the mentality that you think you're getting fucking 7-8 hours and then you're not, and then you're like, that it's literally night and day. It's a complete like switch in like your train of thought. And it's fucking, at least that's like how it is with me, you know? Like that.
I mean, it makes sense though, because then you know what to expect. You mentally prepare yourself for the obstacle. Yeah. Ahead, and you know that you're going to get a break too at some point, just not that day, and so it makes sense to me.
Looking forward to the break too, absolutely. Yeah, but we'll go back to you, because I'm really really good at just being like, oh, this thing about me when you were talking.
Oh my god, you're fine, because this is never supposed to be about me. So, I think that I was thinking about how dating for me is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And how I'm kind of at a place in my life where I don't even want to put in the effort to do it anymore. Like, and I mean that by like, no more dating apps, no more, like, I just can't. Yeah. I have so much going on that I'm going to either meet someone while I'm out and about, because I make time to be out with my friends consistently, or I'm just gonna die alone.
You never want to say die alone. You don't want to.
No, that's no, no. Fine. Yeah, joking, no, I know. But like, it might be decades from now when I don't have the kids anymore, and they're out doing their own thing, and who knows? Who knows? So I'm not, I'm at a place in my life where I'm not in any rush. And if I'm going to be with someone, I'm putting it out there. Like, listen, I don't have time to be up your ass. Mm-hmm. So please don't expect that from me, because it's not going to happen. I just need you to understand that if I'm going to spend time with you, that you have to schedule it with me and commit to it a little bit, because my time is, not to say that it's more valuable than someone else's, but to me, that time is very valuable because it's so limited.
If I can interrupt real quick, because I'm fantastic at it, and to reinforce what you just said, I'm going to go with fuck saying a parent's time is not more valuable, because it kind of fucking is. Because there's literally none of it. There is zero free time. Like, you're fighting tooth and nail to get that free time to go on that date and hang out with that person. That person needs to understand that, because no matter what happens with you and that person, your children are more important. And and that's, it's, you know, and I see that a lot, man. Like, some people, they just don't fucking get being a parent, wanting kids. If you don't want kids, fine. More power to you. Don't have them. Yeah. Don't end up becoming a deadbeat parent because you never wanted them in the first place. Perfect. Yes. I respect that. That is great. But I also, on the flip side, and I think this is just in general, not just with parenting, with literally everything in life, people need to think about putting themselves in other people's fucking shoes and thinking about what it's like, because, you know, and actually, I agree. I think puppies are worse than babies personally in regards to like the new, like how difficult it is to take care of them. But you're like, oh, cute. You got a dog. Oh, that's so, oh, life's hard, man. That's gonna, like, stop comparing your fucking dog to a live human. You know what I mean? Like, the point I'm trying to make is people need to put themselves in other people's fucking shoes and realize, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just basically reinforcing what you're saying. I do think it's more valuable because you don't have mm-hmm. all this time like a normal single person with that just works 40 hours a week does. Comes home every night like, mm-hmm. well, what am I going to do? Oh, well, I guess I'll fucking hang out naked and play video games. It's like, no, dude, I wish I could hang out naked and play video games.
I was just going to say,
I can't do that anymore.
That's the dream.
You know?
That's the fucking dream.
So, you know, there's maybe like one time I'll come home late from work and like everybody's asleep and I'm like, fucking tiptoeing around, like if I wake somebody up, I'm smashing my head through a wall, and I'll just look around and be like, "Ooh." You know, I would love to say I come down to the basement, get naked, and play video games. I don't do that, just because I'm like, you know, I should sleep. I should sleep right now. As much as I would love to just waste the whole night doing something awesome, maybe adding a little liquor to it or something, would all sound fantastic. Yeah. But I'm like, my kids are gonna wake me up pretty early, and I want to have some sleep for that.
Yeah, you have to like. Way out what it is. Yeah, I get that. I mean, even now, again, free time is so limited for me. And while I would love to be able to play video games just to kind of like decompress, mm-hmm. I'm like, there's all this shit that I need to do. I need to take advantage while my little tornado is not here and clean up the fucking messes that she's making, or enforce my teenager to clean up his shit because he hoards dishes.
You mean he's a teenager?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Stacking cups and shit.
It's the funniest thing seeing all the things that he does. And I'm like, this is, it's like such a stereotypical teenager, especially a teenage boy with like the pile of dirty laundry and like,
everything smelling like a gym sock, and he's just on with the boys playing COD, and he's like,
"You need to open your window. It smells in here." And yes, the headphones.
He's on with the boys, like, "Mom, let me finish the match first." Jesus Christ!
Yes, I'm playing a game.
Yeah, don't understand me, Ma. Okay, God.
I'm like, get off. You know, you have to do this, and he's like, "I'm in a match."
Yeah. You're like. Don't try to fuck with me. I know what a match is, little motherfucker. When you're done with that match, go do it. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to do that because I'm like, I know you can't pause, but I also know how long those matches last, motherfucker.
Yeah. You're like, don't forget, I know where the modem is, and I'll unplug the power in a heartbeat, and then no one's fucking in any match. I feel like that's how I'm going to be with my kids, but like I need to know that when I talk like that I'm joking and not talking to them, because that's... My dad was always like that. Everything was always like, he like portrayed this grumpy old dude, and but he did it in like a comedic way to where like me and my brothers, we all loved it. It was always so funny to us. And I do that all the time. And my wife laughs at it. And like, I almost wonder if like, I feel like my daughter might understand, because like when I do it, she like laughs and she'll be like, "Oh, daddy." Mm-hmm. And like, it's like, she's getting it already. And I'm like, wow. Like, I really hope she's actually understanding it and I'm not fucking damaging her. Like, she doesn't think, you know what I mean? Cause
no, I mean, if she's laughing, cause I do that with Robin. Like, for example, my mom thinks this is terrible, but I'll be like, "Listen, if you don't cut it out, I'm throwing you in the garbage."
Mine is throw you off the deck.
or out the window. Yeah. Cause I live on the second floor. So, yeah, and obviously I'm joking.
Course,
I would never fucking do that to my kids. But also the only reason that I say that is because they know that I'm not going to do it. And so it's funny. Like,
yeah, no, I listen, I have mine. Like I said, mine's throw them off the deck. It's the same thing. But like you, I mean, you know, if they're giggling, laughing, but they're still kind of taking you seriously or whatever, you know, it's all how it works. I mean, yeah. That's that fine line on one of the many in parenting, you know, you're like learning how to like be yourself. And cause I'm just like, everything's always going to be funny with me. Everything's always going to be like lighthearted, joking around. Let's all smile and have a good fucking time. I'm going to be a complete goofball, and you're all either going to think it's corny as fuck or you're going to like it. Either way, this is how it is. So deal with it. But like, I want them to know, it's like, you know, like you said, like, you're not like, when I'm like, I'm going to throw you off the deck if you don't stop drawing on the walls. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want her to go to school and be like, "Daddy says he's going to throw me off." You know what I mean? That, and they're like, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, because sometimes those daycare people, man, they're just like, well, this is how this is, and we know it all, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, my wife come home and be like, well, they said this. And I'm like, I'm going to go throw these bitches off our fucking deck, trying to tell, right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I know, and I understand that. I'm sure all that shit is coming from the right place. They're coming from, like, this is their career. Yeah. They care about every single kid that comes in there and stuff. But at the same time, it just makes you wonder. It's like, bitch, do you got kids? And when I say bitch, female, male, whatever, I'm not trying to be sexist here. Like, bitch,
you're good.
You got your own kids at home? Because I know you're full of shit trying to fucking tell me what you're telling me right now. And if you got your own fucking kids, there's no way you know that shit's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I think that I can't imagine what it's like to be a teacher and trying to find that balance of like, what's the level of how much you get involved.
Yeah.
Mainly because there are so many really fucking tragic stories, but I guess in those kinds of situations, it's usually really obvious and people are just too afraid of getting involved.
Or maybe what if it's wrong? What if it seems so obvious, but it's not the case, you know?
Yeah.
Like my daughter, our daughter fucking broke her collarbone. Excuse me, at the end of last year. And like, you know how scary that is? Like bringing your kid like hurt. Like nowadays, like they call diapers on fucking anything. She rolled off her bed. Her bed's not even 2 feet off the ground. She when she rolled off, she was crying. And my wife's like, you know, like, I don't even think we were fully asleep yet. I think we were like about to get into bed and then we heard it. And then we heard her start crying. And this is the first time she's rolled off her bed. She's rolled off it a couple times and everything's always been fine. So we head in there. My wife, she's like, oh my God, my baby. You know what I mean? She runs in there like she's fucking Superwoman. She's like, baby, you know what I mean? And she, you know, my daughter's crying and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, sometimes I feel like, if you get a certain reaction from your parent, you might react or you might emphasize or over embellish the cry. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, you know, let's see, whatever. I'm like, babe, I mean, her bed is like, it's literally like, I think it's like 18 inches off the ground. It's not very high at all. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, and she still, but the only thing is she still seemed like kind of upset. She did stop crying and go back to bed. So I'm like, all right, let's see how the morning goes. I left for for work super early, you know, because I'm usually up and out before anybody's awake. And then she called me. I was just about to like start working. I was working at the Newark airport. And she's like, you have to come home. You have to come take Isla to the emergency room. Because this was like fucking 2 or 3 weeks after she gave birth. So she ain't fucking going anywhere. You know what I mean? So
I'm like, all right.
So, I take her. So they do an x-ray. And the nurse is calling us over and they're like talking to her with like the kid voice, you know, oh, come look, Isla, come look at what, you know, and I see it. I look at the screen and I just fucking see the collarbone is broke. And I'm like,
oh my God,
like, are you fucking kidding me? She actually broke it. And I'm like sitting there. I'm like, oh my God, it really is broke. And I mean, they were cool. You know, they didn't call diapers on us or ask us any weird questions. They believed when I told them she rolled off her bed and they were like, yeah, honestly, like if they just fall in the right spot, it's pretty fucking easy.
Crazy.
She was a trooper through. There was only a couple of days where she like hung out on the couch and didn't move. After that, it was basically like she forgot she had a fucking collarbone that was completely snapped in half. She's running around doing whatever she wants. So, but it's
they're resilient.
They are. Oh my! I remember like my skateboarder when I was a teenager, and I fell, and I would just get back up and skate. If I felt like that now, I think I'd be on the ground literally for 20 minutes, like, call my wife. I don't think I'm going to make it. I'd be like, dude, you're fine. You're not even, like, nothing's bleeding. Like, you're not. I can't even imagine. I'm not even 40 yet. You know?
Yeah. The other day, my dog actually, she's a puppy, but she's big. So she probably,
what kind of dog is she?
I'm bad at, like, she's a mutt. She's a pit bull, boxer, Great Pyrenees, something else. So she's probably, I would say probably like 70 pounds, 75 pounds maybe.
That's pretty big. That's definitely more than medium.
And
medium sized.
Yeah. And so the other day she decided to take off. So I live on the second floor. In order to get her into my fenced in yard, I have to take her out the front door, which is where my street is, around the side of the house. Mm-hmm. And I just let her run around in the backyard. And usually I used to be able to open up the gate and she would go right back up the stairs. She stopped doing that. Now she runs sometimes across the street.
Oh God.
And then I'm like, oh my God. And other times she'll run like down the street. And so the other day I caught her and just picked her up. And I was like, oh, because she's 75 fucking pounds.
Yeah, that's big.
Because she didn't have her collar on because I'd given her a bath. Mm-hmm. And she flailed and I fell and hurt my knee. It was bleeding. It was, and now, I mean, of course, now I'm having a psoriatic arthritis flare up. So it's fucked. But like that was my bad knee anyway. And so now there's like a, in place of the scab or the healed skin is just psoriasis and swelling and being old, getting old.
It's brutal. You're like, what did I do? I'm not even like, if I was like 50 something, all right, you know, tell me I got arthritis, doc. What else? Blah, blah, blah. But like,
I know.
I mean, and that's the thing too. I always ask, I'm like, all right, well, I'm overweight. You know, I still like drinking. You know, I don't really eat that great. Like, I try to think about what I'm eating, and some days I'll eat real good. And then other days I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to be a piece of shit today. So like it completely varies. And, you know, I'm just putting off that point of like my kids being like, Dad, you're going to fucking die soon, you gigantic pile of garbage, if you don't do something. And I'm like, well, I want to be around for you guys, so I guess I'll do it now. So I'm just pushing that off like an asshole. But, what was the point I was making? I think I was just trying to make a point of like, it's just brutal. Like, you know, I'm not even 40 yet. You know, we're not even 40 and just like all this. Oh, no. I wanted to ask the doctor, what am I doing wrong? You know, is there something I could change? And they're like, oh, no, it's genetic arthritis. I'm like, perfect. So I can go home and have a couple of drinks. Thanks, doc. Appreciate you, pal. Like,
yeah.
But, man, that's what happens.
It's bananas. Fucking genetics.
Yeah.
Man.
I had to fucking go get a fucking, it's a little graphic, but it's kind of how I am. So I'll just fucking say it. I definitely had to get a camera stuck in my dick. And they had to fucking check something out and like pop a little something like for my kidney to where my bladder goes. The entrance into the bladder was like a pinhole. So if I ever got like a kidney stone or something, like it could possibly be emergency surgery. So because I was having like abdomen pains, I'm having like two different types of pains. I'm not having the one anymore since I got this procedure done. But my other doctor thinks I might have diverticulitis. But as long as I just take fiber every day, I've always been fine. If I ever miss taking it for like 2 or 3 days, then I'll fucking have a terrible fucking night hanging out in the toilet for like 3 hours. But so when I had to go get this procedure done, they fucking put me out and they put a camera in there. This actually, the end of the story is hilarious. So whoever's listening, be prepared to laugh.
Hang in
so,
there.
So they put the camera in there. They confirm that that's what's going on. So then they have to put a balloon in. They inflate the balloon and it pops the opening, which causes it to heal back in a normal. Now this is inside. This ain't like literally my penis. It's inside the urethra where it meets where the bladder is or something. So they're in there, you know, and it just I'm put out for fuck's sake. So it kind of feels like a little bit of lower back pain. It's like not a big deal. And I asked the doctor, I'm like, doc, am I going to be hurting? You know, I fucking work construction. Like, you know, oh no, I feel like some lower back pain. They gave me Cody and I was like, sweet. I love, you know, I'll take Cody. I took Cody in the one and I was like, my parents were here visiting for Teddy being born. And so I popped some Cody. I'm like, this is great. My parents are like, you're a fucking idiot. And I woke up the next day feeling terrible. And I was like, all right, I'm going to throw these away because I feel like shit. I was like, I don't even feel like that when I have a couple drinks. I fucking took something for pain. It's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Pills are fucking.
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of awesome crazy when you take them, but they're fucking terrible. Like, I've only taken them a handful of times, like in my like 20s, like having a little fun. You know, have a couple drinks and all of a sudden you're like melting into a couch. But I never like got, and I guess I was just lucky. I never fucking wanted to be like, oh, I need more, you know? So long story short, this doc says, oh no, you're going to be all right. Like just a little, like you'll feel it. Like it's lower back pain kind of. And I'm like, all right. So I'm a little loopy just coming out of the anesthesia. My mom picked me up. She had my daughter with us and my younger brother who also flew in to visit and stuff when my son was born. So I'm like, lady, I want some gravy fries. Let's go. This is my thing. If I need to, you know, like wake up out of anesthesia, you know, I want to go to a diner. So we go. I'm all excited. I order my disco fries and stuff. My daughter's like, Dad, you gotta go potty. So I'm like, all right, baby, let's go. So I'm taking her. I'm like all happy and loopy and stuff. We walk into the bathroom. And then I let her go for, because we almost end up always both going when I take her. So I have her go first and I wipe her and pull her pants back up. I'm like, all right, sit here. Daddy's gotta go potty. So I start to pee and it feels like lava is coming out of my dick. It was brutal. Like, I start yelling. And my daughter's like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, it was brutal. And right at the end, like, this little, like, bit of, like, blood and, like, a blood clot shot out. It was brutal to see, to feel. And, like, my fucking poor daughter. And you know what, my daughter pats me on my lower back and goes, it's okay, Daddy. I'm like, you got no idea, kid. Nothing's all right. No fucking clue. It was brutal. So the next 48 hours, I pissed fucking razor blades. Thanks a lot for telling me, Doc, you fucking asshole. But
I can't believe you didn't prepare you for that.
I don't. I mean, they stick an inanimate object up your urethra, like, and there's no way they're like, let's be gentle. They're probably like, you know, we got six of these to do today. Ugh. You know, I got break in an hour and a half.
But like,
it was brutal. It was, you know, I don't know why he wouldn't say it's going to hurt when you pee for at least a day or two.
Because
it was not okay for a good 48 hours. Finally, like the later half, the second day, the third day, it was basically gone. But every single time I had to pee, and I had to pee a lot because they gave me other pills. I don't know if it's like iodine, but like something to where I would take them. So when I would pee, my pee would be yellow or like orange, like really orange, like a bright orange. I guess, you know, there's like a, it's like a, to clean out the urethra, make sure there's no infections from them sticking the camera and shit up there. So they wanted me to drink a lot of water and take those. And plus, I think they gave me a diuretic, which makes you pee a lot. So yes. I'm pissing and screaming every fucking 25 minutes so I tell this story to my parents so they can hear me. They're like, you can hear them laughing at me as I'm yelling and peeing. It's fucking, but you know, it's a really funny story. So instead of just sitting there and being a crusty old dude and be like, this is fucking terrible, I want to jump off the deck myself, be like, that's actually fucking pretty funny.
That's sweet. Isn't it funny how they're like, just the,
all
the
she cared about was just me being in pain. And she was like, it's going to be, you know what I mean? Cause that's what I say to her. Like if she falls and gets hurt, like, you're okay. You're going to be okay. You know, like rub her back or whatever. Yeah. That's exactly what she did.
Yeah. I love that. Robbie was doing something like that to me recently too. It was this, the sweetest thing. So I've been dealing with this flare up for, it has to be like almost 3 weeks now. And it started out as a fever. Mm-hmm. And my body just being really exhausted, and I couldn't, and like just generally achy all over, kind of almost like the flu. And I slept for like 3 days straight, basically. And I'm a single mom, so I have to get up and do shit. But at one point I asked Robbie to come and lay with me. And while I rested and I fell asleep, but she didn't. She was watching her iPad or something, and she just stayed with me. And I woke up to her massaging my shoulders.
Wow, that is so sweet. Like, that is so nice.
She was massaging my shoulders. I was like, "What a sweet little angel demon!"
Yeah,
baby.
Yeah, right. You like throw. Don't forget the other adjectives because there's more, right? Kids are so freaking innocent, man. It's crazy. That's so sweet, though. That's so funny. Oh, you mentioned the iPad. Jesus Christ. I wonder what our parents did without a mobile fucking television for us. You know what I mean? I always said that. I was like, oh, don't want to always have the kid in front of the TV. Don't want to always blah, 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 you know? And all of a sudden you're like, well, I live in New Jersey and me and my wife have to work 1,000 hours a week to pay this insane fucking mortgage. So go get them, Lashky kid. go find your fucking favorite YouTube channel, and you know, and then you come home from work and you're fucking beat, right? So you try to do a little something with them, but then after a certain point you're like, all right, kid, I gotta just sit on this fucking couch and hang. And you know, every now and then you take a look over. She would find these videos of like the camera being at a car tire running over toys. It was very strange. I'm like, what in the fuck are you what? Or go to change it, and then like an hour later I hear the like that noise of like plastic.
So
yeah,
weird.
I don't know if I mean, maybe because she came in, like the destruction was like interesting to her or something. I hope it doesn't mean she wants to kill people when she gets older. I have no idea, but so yeah.
TBD.
So I'm sure there's a lot worse shit she could have found on YouTube. So
yeah,
but it's still.
Is she on YouTube Kids or regular YouTube?
I want to say regular YouTube because I definitely never set up any YouTube Kid thing at all. But
do a YouTube Kids thing because then you don't have to worry about it. I mean, you have to worry about it a lot less.
I was
Robin
gonna
watches
say,
like stupid annoying
they
videos.
Still sneak weird shit in there every now and then. Me and my wife are like, look at the TV, we look at each other and we're looking at the TV again and we're like, it's almost like there's like subliminal shit they're like trying to sing to kids or something. I'm like, give me the fucking remote. We're changing this shit. I don't know what the fuck. I don't like it, though. You know what I mean? But all my daughter sees is like these colorful people jumping around and singing and dancing, right? You know, they're like, I don't know. It's just weird sometimes, you know? So you got to watch out for that shit. But yeah. I mean,
Robin is obsessed with, you know, cut you off. But the song, I Can't Feel My Face song.
Oh, no, that's The Weeknd. Or you're talking
Weekend.
About, I can't feel my face when I'm with... Yeah,
yes,
it's The Weeknd.
That's The Weeknd. Oh, God. Okay. I don't know who the fuck it is. That's how...
That album is actually really fantastic.
Out of like...
Yeah, he's really good. I haven't kept up with his last couple albums, but his first... I think it was his first two albums I listened to a lot. He's really good.
So she's obsessed with that song, I Can't Feel My Face, but it's on from YouTube Kids, and it's like a kids cover.
They kids bopped a song about cocaine?
Cocaine.
That's what that song's about, by the way, if you didn't know.
Right? I know.
That whole album is about that
listeners.
Dude having sex with multiple, like tons and tons of women and doing drugs while doing it. That's what that whole album's about.
Yeah. And so she's just, she loves this song. And I'm like, fuck, it's like her favorite song. And she's like, I can't feel my face.
Like,
and I'm like,
yeah,
Jesus
like,
Christ,
know.
She has no idea.
What fucking cocksucker makes a kids bop about a fucking cocaine song? Like, come on, dude, help us out.
Well, they did it in the context of going to the dentist.
That's actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's still...
It's a cute video.
Yeah, but that's
But
you know, if she goes to when she goes to school, I don't know if she goes to daycare or preschool or whatever yet. But
she
goes and she's singing that song, and the teacher's like a big Weeknd fan, and she's like, "Wait, what?" You know what I mean? Now, like,
again?
The kid's not gonna be able to decipher what that means at all. But it's still like, well, if you're listening to that song around your kid, you listen to that whole album. What else is on your fucking playlist? Because I like the Weeknd, and I'm telling you that whole album now. Some stuff you don't have to decipher shit.
Kids.
It's just real easy to know. You know what I mean? So, I mean, and that's, I don't know, maybe that's just a personal thing. You don't want to feel judged as a parent. You don't want to have to worry. Maybe they get this little mental fucking checklist in their head and all of a sudden they're like, all right, Dyfus, you know, like it's just a scary thing because you try to do everything right. And the fact that they just need to do their jobs and keep kids safe. It's just still scary. You know, it's scary to me, dude. You're like, what if they just don't fucking believe you, you know, and they just want to fucking scoop your kids? Like, that's fucking, especially when you like go the extra mile and put in the work to try to not be a piece of shit parent, you know, because it takes a lot of effort.
I think that to that point they can tell because, I actually had that happen when I was with Ethan's dad, because of his dad. While I was working, I was leaving him with his dad, and his dad, I guess, was doing shady stuff. I still don't know exactly what he was doing, but to make a very long story short, they did call. I had them come walk around the house, and they closed the case immediately because they realized that, at least when I was there,
the shady shit
everything
wasn't
was
happening.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and so I quit my job. And moved into a shelter, but that's a different story.
That's might be a whole other podcast episode there, right?
Yeah. But I think as long as you're doing the right thing, I don't think you have anything to worry about. Like, and I'm not afraid of being judged anymore because I'm the heavily tattooed, pierced goth mom. and I'm just like, fuck it. And Ethan was probably like 7 or 8. The teacher they had like a project where it was doing, it was Kindness Day or something. And so they were decorating doors, like their kindness doors. And Ethan chose to number his door as 666.
Nice.
And the teacher was so pissed.
Oh, sure.
And she was like, that's not funny. Blah, blah, blah. And like emailed me about it. And I was like, first of all, did you ask him if he knows what that means? He's seven. Like, I was pissed. I was like, don't you fucking dare put your shit on my kid, especially because in a public school, it's none of your fucking business if I do worship Satan, which I don't.
But even if you did, I mean, you know, it's...
none of their fucking business.
I know. It's like, obviously, going to be some like negative fucking thing like that. You know what I mean? But there's so many different fucking religions and things that people believe in and whatever the case may fucking be. And like, and who knows how or why he heard of 666. You know what I mean?
Oh, because of me.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, whatever the...
My clock in the kitchen.
Oh, what?
It has 666 as the 6 o'clock hour.
That's funny.
I thought it was funny.
It is funny. Listen, there's nothing I love more than Satan and death metal. So, you know, I'm going to definitely think that's awesome, but...
I mean, I had a satanic Christmas tree this year, because...
Darth Vader was the star on my tree.
So. I gotta do so. I could do a Darth Vader one next year. I have a black tree.
Yeah, so. I just got on Amazon. It was really easy to find. My wife, and now my daughter too. Christmas, the holidays. Oh my, Halloween, fucking, it's everything. They go nuts, and I'm like, all right, this is great. They're decorating whatever. So, and I'm sitting there on the couch, and I'm like, all right, now what am I gonna do to put my mark on this fucking tree? You know, she's got all these pictures and fucking ornaments, whatever. So then I went on Amazon and, you know, I might have typed in like, I don't know if I typed in Star Wars tree toppers or, you know, I don't know what it was, but I came across the Darth Vader one and I was like, all right, next day shipping, let's go get here before Christmas.
That's fantastic. And,
so and that was that.
Yeah, Robin wanted to do black and red and I was like, we can do black and red. Let's make it fun. And so I started Googling and I found it's like a 3D printed Leviathan cross. For my topper, and then I found a tree skirt that says Satan on it.
That's fucking awesome.
So yeah, I was like, she wanted to decorate the tree. Yeah. So it was just fun. It wasn't about
Christmas. Almost like people, it's not even. I feel like it's not even related to like the Catholic or Christian religion anymore. It's just like something that America as a whole does, you know, like, you know, I mean, whatever you want to do in your household or whatever people believe in, or, you know, it's fine, but guess what? Other people want to do different shit. And you know, it's, you know, I hear you. It's fucking the only thing I care about with the judgment is if they're going to fucking, you know, like I said, like call dives, take the kid away or some shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Other 100%. Than that, that to me actually is like, it's pretty serious fighting words. Like if you comment on how I parent or try to tell me how to parent, that is instant. Like I'm not okay. Like I am angry and I'm like, like, and depending on the situation, it's like, all right, just walk away, move on. Or, you know, like it's not like I've obviously never gotten to a fucking physical altercation. Like I won't say it public. I'll tell you when we're offline, but there's somebody close to my life to where, you know, they started doing that when I had my first kid to like me and my wife. And I was like, you're just gotta fucking stop. Like, I'm not okay with this shit. Like some people, they just don't know. They just don't know how to fucking control themselves. They don't know. They don't realize what they're fucking saying. And it's like, dude,
it's true.
Especially if they have kids themselves. It's like, don't you think you'd be a little fucking annoyed if somebody decided to tell you what you should do or how you should do something? Like, you fucking motherfucker. Yeah. Like, get out of here with that.
My ex-mother-in-law used to do that. And I remember just being like, the one thing that really, really got me, and this will stand out forever for the rest of my life because it's so fucking ridiculous, is that she was saying that I should be bringing my child to church. And I was like, bitch, do you go to church? You didn't even fucking go to church. Did you take your kids to church? No, you didn't even fucking take your kids to church. And again, just like you use bitch, it's just a phrase we say. Like, who? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I, thank goodness my ex-husband stepped in and was like, he literally said to his mom, what the fuck are you talking about? So that I didn't have to say it. But it was like, why?
And what I will say in rebuttal to what you said, like, if a mother-in-law or grandmother-in-law or father, whoever it is, say if they're really religious, if that's how they're brought up, they're very religious. They're like, oh, let's go to church. And they're like, there's a different way to say that. There's a way that they could say that. And it's like, they just care. Like, that's, they love God. They're very religious. And they feel that having this child love God with them is like a great thing for them. And like, that is different than like, where it sounds like in this situation, it sounded like somebody adding a little bit of judgment in there and saying that in some fucking way where it's like, you know what? There's a big difference between those two things, you know, cause there's, there was a time there was somebody, I won't say exactly who it is. Just not to fucking, but my wife was like, oh, did you notice that? Et cetera, et cetera. Like kind of did like a little blessing to Teddy. And I was like, oh, and I was like, I didn't notice it. And she was like, and because my wife and I, we aren't religious. Our home isn't a religious home. That's just how we are. If our kids want to be, that's up to them. We're not going to, you know, they could do whatever they believe, whatever they want. As long as they're not hurting anybody, it doesn't matter to us. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I think she didn't know how to feel about it at first because she isn't religious. And I'm like, listen, if that's the case, I take that as they think they're doing something kind and nice and protective or whatever they think. I don't take that as like that, if it is supposed to be a kind gesture, as like, you're trying to fucking suck my kid into a religion or something, you know? But there are people that may do something like that, that do want to do that, you know what I mean? And that's a different story. It's kind of, again, one of the zillion fucking fine lines in parenting, but.
I mean, it is kind of disrespectful. In my opinion, I think so, only because they didn't ask.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's, I think if they had been like, would you be okay if I did this because it means this to me or whatever, I think that would have been more appropriate, but it's not like you're saying, it's definitely coming from a good place. And so it's not like it was intended to be disrespectful, but it is kind of like a crossing a boundary kind of a thing.
It definitely is for me.
Yeah.
I'm more laid back about stuff like that. And I definitely understand and respect what you just said and in some ways agree with it as well, you know? And that's the thing. It's like my wife might feel a little bit more on the side of how you feel about it. And that's kind of why she talked to me about it. And
yeah, well, they're our babies. We get,
oh yeah. It's like, what are you doing with your hands over there? What's this fucking, that? You know, like, what the fuck are you doing? But, no, and I get that. But that's the beautiful thing about parenting. Like if you don't want it to happen, or if that's how you feel, then that's how you fucking feel. And, you know, there's the basic things we all got to do, right? We got to show up to their shit, right? We're not supposed to hit them, right? We got to keep feeding them and everything. Everybody's got to do that. But all the other shit, it's kind of like, you know, if they're going to grow up to be decent people, then you're doing all right. It's really all that matters, you know?
That's true. That's definitely.
You try to be like this perfect parent all the time, but sometimes you're like, you know what? It's just that's.
No, it's not
like,
possible.
That's not what I am. I'm not this fucking. You know, and that's the thing, too. Like, I feel like that perfect, don't do this, don't do that, the pristine image of a human, like, I feel like that leads to a complete lack of common sense and like naive thinking, you know? Like, sometimes kids gotta.
Or like somebody that ends up being fucking neurotic about everything and like anxious all the time because they're like, everything has to be perfect.
No, I think sometimes, like, you know, I mean, obviously not like at a super early age or whatever, but like everything comes in time, right? But I think they gotta see that there's imperfections in the world. There's bad things, there's good things. It's like, it's what you're gonna make of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly. Well, Dan, I feel like two things. One, I feel like we should have our own podcast because I think that we could talk about all of these things all the time. So we should talk about that. I want you to.
I'm not against
it. The second thing is that Ethan's knocking on my door, so I want to wrap up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's already been a while. Anyway. Yeah, an hour and a half. Is that?
Yeah. 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 That's perfect because that'll. Yeah, we'll be good. So, the one thing that I always ask my. Let me try that again. The one thing that I always ask my guests at the end of every episode is, what one thing do you want to leave the listeners with before we end?
I don't know. I guess in light of us probably mostly talking about parenting this entire episode, I would just say fucking do what do what you feel is right when raising your kids, I guess, you know? I didn't necessarily intend for this to just be all about parenting, but that's kind of how it was. But, you know, just fucking stick up for yourself if someone's going to try to judge you about what you're doing. Like, if you know you're doing the right thing, then tell them the fuck off. You know?
It's
sometimes
true.
People need to hear that. You know? Sometimes people need to realize it's okay for them to be like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. See you later, though. You know?
Yeah. Setting that boundary. Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you're a parent, like, making sure that people understand, no, this is... I appreciate your input, or if you don't, you don't have to say that, but it depends on, I guess, who it is. You can either tell somebody to go fuck themselves or say, listen, I appreciate your input and leave it at that, or, you know, I'll consider that or whatever, or this is how we, thank you, I appreciate that, but this is how we do things. Like, there are so many ways you can handle it, but I believe me, there are plenty of people that I just want to be like, who the fuck are you? You're not here every day with my kids. By myself. I mean, their dad is involved, but he's not here every day.
No, of course.
And so, like, that's...
Yeah.
No. You don't fucking live here. You don't pay my fucking bills. You don't have a say.
Exactly. Don't forget it, people.
All right. Thank you so much for doing this.
I had a good time. I think it was nice. It was, you know, again, it's... I enjoy conversation, especially if it's serious. It doesn't always have to be the... You know, the dick and fart jokes all the time, which is like 60% of my conversation. But
do you want me to plug your podcast?
Well, we're not even going to call it the Shots for Likes podcast anymore. We're probably going to rebrand her, and we're still talking about that. What we're going
to
do?
Trying to figure out what it is.
I think we might. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to. Whatever that is, we'll you know, once we figure it out, I guess we'll go from there. But. No, you don't know exactly. Yeah, there's not really nothing to plug. I'm good.
Okay. I'm going to end the recording.
I had so much fun recording that episode. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. I would love to have him back on a future episode. I would also love to have his wife on a future episode. So let me know if you would like to have him back. I'm going to be putting a poll in the Spotify app. So on this episode, if you listen to it on Spotify, please answer the poll. I would really appreciate it. It's an easy way for me to get your feedback. The other thing that I have to update you on is that I did change podcast hosts. So I am now using Anchor, which is owned by Spotify. So I am still available everywhere. It's just a different host distributing it. That being said, I'm very proud of myself for this. It's so silly, but I made my own website. So I am now on teatimewithtara.com. So my new email address to contact me is tara@teatimewithtara.com. I'm going to be moving my link tree over to my website. Right now it has like an about me page, which I'm still kind of like fine tuning. There is a contact me page as well as the main page, which has all of my current podcast episodes on it. It'll be a process. I am chipping away at it. I'm trying to make sure that I am being consistent with generating content and releasing episodes, which has been pretty difficult with the psoriatic arthritis flare-up that I'm dealing with, specifically because it's affecting my eyes. And that means that, like, right now, it hurts. My eyes feel achy is the best way that I can describe it. My eyeballs hurt, kind of. I don't know. Anyway. it's not getting any better. And so it is definitely really hard to just like manage everyday life. But now that I have my Adderall back, at least I have that little bit of focus, that little boost of like motivation. So I am figuring it out as I go. Another thing I'm thinking of doing is starting a blog on my website. That would basically be kind of like a companion to the episodes potentially, or even just kind of like, remember you older millennials, the days of live journal and stuff. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I know that I need to be writing more. And so I figure that I can do that in a way where I am sharing it with you guys. So also let me know what you think about that. That's really it. I'm really just so messed up with between what's going on with my body, what's going on in my personal life, and just being depressed and feeling icky and all the things. I'm not feeling great in a nutshell, but I am trying to power through and hang in there. And I know this isn't forever. I know that once I find the right treatment that I'll feel better. And I also know that my depression won't last forever. I know that all the other things aren't going to last forever. So we may heal and we may grow and overcome shit, but healing is definitely not linear. And so I think that it's important for me to share that with you all, because I've done a lot of work, but I am far from perfect. I am fucked up with a capital F and a capital U. So, you know, I'm trying to be better, trying to do better all the time, but it takes fucking up sometimes and making bad decisions or whatever, living through shit to be able to work through some of those things and to recognize those things. So that's kind of where I'm at. So if the journey of healing is like I'm in a dip. For those of you listening, I just did a whole little roller coaster with my hands. Yeah, I guess that's it. I don't have anything else other than just to let you know that new episodes are still going to keep coming. I am still powering through. I'm really excited for a lot of the guests that I have coming up. It's going to be such a variety of different people who are in different professions and have unique stories. It's just such an honor to... My dog is now playing with her squeak toy, so I'll try and wrap this up a little quicker. It is an honor for these people to trust me with their story and for me to be the person to facilitate it. I don't take that lightly. And so I'm just really grateful. Again, I can't help it. Every time, I am really fucking grateful to be doing this. And I guess that's my cue to end. As always, thank you for checking out Tea Time. As always, thank you for checking out Tea Time with Tara. Stay tuned and stay weird.